Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Internet Marketing Unleashed podcast. I'm your host, Scott Patton, the Dean of Blogonomics and Podology. And I'm really, really excited because we're going to be talking about Google, Yahoo, Twitter's new CEO, iPhone apps, and how to make sure you got a good reputation online. So I want to welcome to the call my good friend Mike Rotkin, the SEO champion. Hey, Mike, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing, Scott. Great. Thanks a lot. I'm doing well, Scott. Thanks for having me on the show again.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Everyone says, get that mic back on. The information is awesome. So the big news today, I think, is that Google is talking about buying Twitter. There's a rumor going around that a deal is in the works, and they're talking, and there could be an announcement coming up. You heard it here first, folks. So what do you think of Google and Twitter?
You know, well, Scott, it's very interesting because it's like I think Google buying Twitter would be a great buy as long as they buy it for the appropriate price, because Twitter doesn't have really any advertisement on there and Google can monetize it. But you know what's interesting is I wanted just to touch on, and you know we can get on later, there was an article that me and you chatted about a while ago that it talked about if Google did buy the original, you know, 25,000 high volume websites, that they would take over a lot of keywords and they can cut the middleman out. So what's happening is actually this news of Google trying to buy Twitter, and that was just rumored before. You know what it was? This news originally came out, the rumor came out when Barack Obama was running for president, and Google's CEO got so involved with backing Barack Obama, I think that company started thinking of themselves as the whole world solution and not trying to capture their traffic there. Because, you know, Scott, you know what's crazy is, you know, we talked last week about Facebook taking over Google's traffic if they literally put a search engine in, because if they have more visitors than Google.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
and
I was just going to say, I noticed that according to the Business Insider, they're recommending that they buy Twitter for $1 billion. And
a billion?
A billion. I think, holy smokes, that would be, I don't know if I believe that or not, but what they're talking about is Google needs a new area of growth, and of course that's what's happening with Twitter right now. It's just exploding. And
exactly. Yeah, you know, well, a billion, you know, funny you mentioned a billion. I was going to actually put an estimate that they could settle 600-700 because it's a buyer's market and Twitter doesn't have a lot of revenue, but I completely agree. They need a new avenue, because I know what you wanted, that we were talking about talking in the future. Yahoo has a new CEO now, and it's a lady. I forgot the lady's name, but Mad Money came out yesterday. He's a popular stock guy on 35, and I watch him sometimes because the guy's so hyped up and he, you know, throws things all around. But he said that Yahoo's doing such, you know, so many great things, because the man speaks to Apple CEOs and Yahoo CEO, and what it was is that the founder, I forgot the gentleman's name, Asian man, he founded Yahoo. He stepped down recently because some of these core guys don't want to let the core values go. So since me and you chatted about MSN, you know, possibly having that deal with Yahoo, that's kind of obvious right now. And Yahoo's doing well, and then now Google all of a sudden wants to buy Twitter for $1 billion.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting to try to capture about the $1 billion is that Google generates about $1 billion in cash every 2 months. So if the whole thing flopped, they would just sort of say, oops, you know, wrote off two months worth of revenue, too bad. You know, that's just unbelievable when you think about those dollars, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's 2 months of ads. That'd be so smart if they bought Twitter. I mean, I honestly, between me and you and the rest of everybody listening, they could take that billion, and if I were them, I'd buy actually websites that had major keywords, you know, that were typed in 1 million, 2 million times a month, and then possibly do something with that. But, I mean, they, you know, between me and you two and everybody else, they have so much money where they can buy Twitter and then go buy, you know, 30 websites that rank for the highest keywords, you know, that are number one and aren't moving, you know, and that's what they should do, because, you know, I'm what I'm thinking, too, is is Google's going to have to do something. They're all over. They're going to make money, but what they're going to lose money in on is that pay-per-click advertising the next 2 to 3 quarters, because a lot of people are doing tests. Plus, oh, there's been a big buzz around here that that pay-per-click and a lot of ads, money's being spent on MSN now, because MSN is really combating Google, because Google was trying to get into the GPS and Android phones and all that, and I think they were thinking of little petty stuff. Their search engine was their goal, you know, and I think that's what they're trying to do too, is, you know, probably with Twitter, is just try to capture that entire list, you know, and eventually let's say this happens. If Google buys Twitter, I'd imagine within 2-3 months we're going to see an email from Google saying, you know, something to the effect that they're going to offer something really cool, or try to get more people on. But, you know, Twitter's just a messaging system. It's not like a Facebook. And see, I was thinking, you know, in the really big eyes, they should have, before Microsoft went in, should have bought, you know, more of parts of Facebook or even social networking sites. You know, Twitter is a big site, but people are only on there to get what's off their mind and just to look what's on their mind. You know, so I'm trying to see the advertising too in it, you know, what's in it for Google.
Well, it's going to be hard for them to post Google ads on Twitter, because when you look at what most of the people I follow and people that follow me, there's not a lot of relevant keywords on these conversations, right? Like, I don't know what they would stick up on there that would make somebody want to click on the ads. And
that
one of the things that's really nice about the Internet is it's still kind of a cottage industry, if I can put it that way. Yes, there are people like Google that are making billions of dollars every couple months, but there's still, you know, millions of people that get on. They have their small little sites and everything else, and it's kind of nice that Twitter is not owned. It's independent, I guess, would be a good way to put it. And I would really be kind of sad if there was all of a sudden, and I can see it happening, it's starting to happen now, consolidation going on like has happened in, say, the grocery industry. When you look at, you know, 100 years ago, you would go and there would be a little baker and there'd be a butcher and there'd be a candlestick maker and there'd be a dry goods, and you would go to all these little shops and you'd know the people. And then now, of course, you've got the Walmarts, the big box stores, right? And it's kind of nice going to Craigslist or Twitter or Facebook or even MySpace, even though it's now owned by eBay. And I think it's owned by – maybe it's eBay. Not owned by eBay.
Wow.
No, I don't think MySpace isn't owned by eBay. What am I talking about? I'm getting confused with Skype. But you get these huge companies, and they start gobbling up all the smaller companies, and usually what you end up having is a kind of a generic – result, and that's one of the things that it would be really sad, right? You know, if it's kind of Twitter and it's, you know, it's I'm just looking at
you know,
Google,
I can see
logo
that happening.
Into and you know, that's really sad. You know, on the other hand, hey, I build a site, I call it Twitter, and the next thing you know, I got billions of people on it, and Google comes along and wants to give me $1 billion, I think I'd probably say yes too, right? Because they're starving. You know, I mean, they've got 30 employees. How do they make any money with the thing? I don't know, right? Google wants to give us money, you know, and you get into these bubble things again too, right? Like, what is the value of Twitter? Well, you've got all these people tweeting. So what? You know, and from a business standpoint, is this really a business or is this just a social phenomenon?
Exactly. And plus, with all the hackers, like, since it's not so easy for somebody to set up a profile and there's no thresholds, I mean, it's so easy for them to get spam like crazy that now they're going to spend more money on hiring technical people. And you know what I was thinking, Scott? What do you think of, instead of Google buying Twitter, why don't they just figure out another idea? They have so much money, they can employ 1,000 coders, pop them right in that office in Mountain View, and have them figure out a couple ideas. Plus, here's the thing, which I don't understand. It makes not a sense out of a penny of nothing of why they haven't done that, because guess what? They can use every leverage they have. Like, if you type in, like, I've noticed what Google's starting to do, which I don't know why they didn't do it 4 years ago. That's like you owning your own house and you don't even want to go use the restroom in it or take a shower. They, you know, Google started putting up ads, like when you, you know, talk about like buying advertising and buying affiliate advertising. Now they're putting up their own ads. It's like, hello, genius, took you a couple years to figure out that you can use your own space. So Why don't they use that? That's what I don't know. Why, you know, they're buying a company for $1 billion, especially when pay-per-click's kind of a little bit on the downside. Why don't they use their own ads and come out with their own dating site? Not like I want them to, because I'm in the dating industry, but come up with something right. different, because they have to traffic. I don't understand.
Yeah. It's really interesting, because there's it's like they have blind spots when you look at they're into a lot of stuff. I mean, I think they're taking a couple pot shots at Microsoft with kind of an online Word and PowerPoint and spreadsheets and that sort of stuff. But and I think there's their Google Documents and that sort of stuff. But it seems to me interesting that they don't maybe do more on their own directory. Do more on their own, their own browser, Google Chrome, right? If you get the Google Toolbar, you can't install it in Google Chrome yet. It's not compatible. So, I'd be putting a lot of my time and effort into, what would be the ideal situation? The ideal situation would be for me to be able to come and visit you in Vegas, get on your computer, log into my Google account, pull up all of my documents, all of my spreadsheets, all of my website projects and all that stuff, and be able to work in a native environment online on all of that stuff. And then you say, you know what, Scott, a buddy of mine's got a little plane. We're going to fly down to Phoenix. So we fly to Phoenix, and, I get a hotel room there. I log into the computer in the hotel room. Or onto the internet in the hotel room, and boom, there's all my stuff. I can work away on it. So basically it turns into a paperless, a computerless almost. Like as long as there's a computer that I can get onto, I don't have to worry about, forgetting any information at home when I'm traveling, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's a great point.
And then you just make it so that you can, like you and I are, say, we're working on a project and everything is all centralized in this hub, and you get on and look at stuff, I get on and look at stuff, and I don't have to email you attachments of stuff. It's all like right there. And to make that, and now that's just two people, like just expand that to, a Google size operation, right?
Yeah.
Where you've got like 50 people working on a project, and they keep going in, and they make comments, and all the rest of it. You have your blogger, you have your blog, you've got your interactivity, you've got your ability to make changes, undo the changes, right? Create my version and your version, right?
Yeah.
All those sorts of things, and then you could even get into the tax season, right? Well, you put all your information in, and it just figures it all up. And, of course, every tax season, the rules and everything and the amounts are all updated. And just imagine if you had all of that. I don't know that I'd want Google to have all that information at its beck and call. But, I mean, there's just so many ways that they could make life easier for people and go after some of these larger – I mean, go after the large accounting firm. Go after Microsoft.
Yeah, make them use Google instead of, Office. And I was thinking too is, what's interesting, and I have a Gmail account since it kind of first came out, and that was one of Google's biggest things they kind of really did to refocus everybody on themselves. Cause, people always use Google cause they know all the info's in there. But then I do, of all the studies I've done quite a bit. People will go jump to Yahoo majority of the time, then MSN, and then they'll probably come back to Google. But the thing is, what I never understood is with Gmail, Gmail was originally Google's internal mailing system, that GChat, all that stuff. They had that out for 3 years before it came out. I believe it was 3 years, but I know for a fact that was their internal system. So it's like, in the technology era where the economy is garbage, why don't they just roll out some huge, just like what you mentioned, filing taxes. They're so huge they already have, they know Barack Obama because they supported him. Why don't they just sign a deal with the IRS stating you can file secure through Google? Who's not going to believe that Google is going to leak out their information? Everybody's going to believe that's the safest connection in the world.
And absolutely.
It's like, why don't they do those types of things? I'm thinking, and they're going to go buy Twitter. I don't know, but Maybe me and you should kind of try to be in charge of Google for a little bit.
That's right. Well, and you know, like you take the Google Talk, sorry, the Google Mail, the Gmail. There's a Google Chat function in it, right? And there's also a Google Talk function and a video Talk function. So you're kind of going after kind of the Skype guys, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s. The Jetsons was the cartoon, and nobody had a phone. They would dial up, and then you would see the person, and it was like all video. You would see the person and talk to them, right? And that hasn't quite happened yet where we've got that. But the closest thing is, in my opinion right now, is Skype. And Google Talk has some of that stuff going on too. But you make that so that it's just mainstream. You get online, you're talking to somebody, through Google Talk, you can see them, and they're moving, you're moving. And the trick is, of course, to handle that huge bandwidth so the calls don't get dropped, so that the video is of good quality. And all of a sudden, you're going to, you know, because that could be something that you could transport onto a BlackBerry, right? So all of a sudden, through, and I don't know that the iPhone would I don't know Google and iPhone Apple whether they would be talking or not, but certainly if you talk to Nokia or Sony Ericsson or the BlackBerry people and just said, you know what, you just have it, so click on Talk and go through our Google video service, and you know, there'll be a premium for it, right, when you're on the phone. But now, and make your phone so that it's got a camera pointing at you, right? So it's like a little bit more like a mic and bigger speakers, right? So it's like you hold it out, you look at the screen, the screen's looking at you, and the other person's looking at their screen, so you see them, they see you, and you're talking to each other. Now, how cool would that be?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I think that would be a great way to use their resources.
Oh, yeah, definitely,
Because you're creating something new, right? You want to create something new, something bigger, something better. Just buying up, you know, some guy that's got a couple hundred million people visiting his site every day is, I don't know if that's a good idea or not. Well, I mean, it makes sense, but it's just this consolidation, right? Like, what's to stop somebody from saying, okay, I'm in the chess industry business, right? Like, you know, I put on chess tournaments, so why don't I do a Twitter for chess people, right? Because these things will all fragment, because I don't want to be on Twitter because, you know, it's whatever, right? But, oh, chess tweet? Sign me up, because all of a sudden I'm going to be talking with all my buddies about chess. Great.
You know, that's true. That's a very good point.
Take a small niche, right?
Yeah,
I think that's part of the problem is you get this big thing, and it's like MySpace. The problem with MySpace was it didn't realize that it was for artists, and so it started, you know, trying to attract all these different types of people that just, no, it's for artists. You know, if you're an artist, go on MySpace. You're on MySpace, right? If you're internet marketer, you're long gone from MySpace or any other bit, you know, realtors or whatever. No, that's not the image. That's not what it's about, right?
Yeah.
Somewhere else.
Yeah, because MySpace was first like put your first. I remember they wanted all the country singers, rock and roll guys, everybody to make their pages on there, and it was all the guys that didn't have a website to put the bloggers, and then a lot of the high schoolers attacked it for dating, and then, and of course, the spammers got a hold of it and just completely destroyed it. Where, man, Scott, there's so many things that MySpace could even have done, because MySpace was bought by, I think, Rupert Murdoch? I don't know. I know it was bought by a big company that owns a lot of either television rights or so, but they could have done a lot of different things and controlled that, because Facebook really shouldn't have blown up the way it did. I don't know how it did. I really don't.
Well, you know how I think the reason it did is because it got bought up. It got bought up by people that didn't know the culture, that didn't know what was going on, and just kind of got abandoned. And that's the danger of, no matter how good we think and how competent we feel Google is, when it goes and buys Twitter, if it does, You know, mm-hmm. is it going to change that culture and change things to or not support it in such a way that all of a sudden it's kind of like, oh, you know, we're going to go to something else, right? And
mm-hmm.
it'll lose its momentum. And I really think that when you have large companies throwing huge bucks at small properties, because really, what is Twitter but, you know, a page that everyone just types in a little bit?
Yeah.
Not particularly hard. I mean, it's not like it's hard to do, right? They don't have any proprietary...
Yeah, and the development, it's not hard to remake Twitter either, but I mean, of course, it's hard to get all those followers. And maybe they're buying it for the database. Maybe they're buying it for... maybe they're buying it because somebody else doesn't buy it. And maybe, you know, I think that could be a big possibility. Do you think they're buying Twitter because they don't want Yahoo or MSN to buy them for $1 billion? Possibly?
That definitely could be...
Because that'd be the wrong decision.
Motivation. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, right. $1 billion.
Well, particularly when there's no ads on it, right? Like, I mean, it's not like they're going to lose a major ad source. And if there was ads on it, like, how would you know what you're supposed to put ads about on it anyway, right?
Yeah, and then if they could do something crazy and start charging $1 per month for each user and lose about 75% of the people that, well, you know, if they, like you said, if they make $1 billion every 2 months, then, you know, it's only 2 months of rent they're throwing away. But for $1 billion, I mean, you can really come up with, you know, I've always heard that, and I wanted to throw this out there because I've never really said this public, but I do know quite a few people throughout the years that work for MSN, and you know, they have the Nobel Prize winners, but MSN, and they're another one that they're actually, I think they're really going to start rolling out the technology. They have technology that they are holding back for big economies that they've literally created 5 to 7 years ago. Of, you know, of these types of Skype devices, like what we use as Skype right now, MSN was using internally, geez, back in like 2000. Stuff like that, it's why are companies holding back on it now? Offer the technology free, let everybody jump on like Skype, like Twitter, and then when they do jump on, then hit them with the couple ads too, because MSN, Google, and Yahoo can all get away with making a brand new company, getting a whole bunch of people on, and putting their ads up. Because if people know it's a Google company, they're going to deal with looking at those ads. You know, if they see Twitter all of a sudden is, you know, putting a whole bunch of ads up and, you know, people don't know Google bought them, you know, that it might deter people only to want to do it on their cell phone. Because you can tweet by a cell phone, and you know, which is kind of cool. And you know, and you can actually, you know, it's funny, you can actually put more words in through the cell phone. And so it's pretty funny how they change the thresholds and change the rules a little bit. You know,
right.
But it's going to be interesting because, Warren Buffett was just on, one of the biggest businessmen, and a lot of people are saying that companies need to spend money and do good marketing and stuff. And Warren Buffett, actually, he was the one who said, buy yourself into the industry if you don't own it. So, you know, buying Twitter, like you said, is just buying one small, it is a big website, but it's a website that could be just like, not even like a MySpace, because Twitter people, they only have a very little amount of information, you know, on their site. And yeah, they have all those links and they have all the leverage, but since Google's the biggest search engine, they're not buying it for leverage as far as trying to get themselves bigger or get Twitter bigger, because it's already a page rank 8 or 9 with probably the most links out of every site except for a search engine, I'm thinking. So I'm wondering to see how this story is going to unfold and see how much it's sold for.
Yeah, and also what is the value of it?
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about $1 billion, and okay, so you do that so MSN doesn't buy it. Well, you know, that's kind of like buying a football team in Brazil so that the NFL doesn't expand there or something. I mean, that may not be a good analogy, but it's just kind of like, it just doesn't make sense to me because, you know, are those people not, you know, if you go and you're on Twitter, where are you going to go when you want to search the Internet? You're going to go to Google or Yahoo or MSN, and it's not going to make much difference who owns Twitter in terms of which one you're going to go to. So
exactly.
It's not like goodwill. It's not like they're taking away... It's not like what we were talking about with Facebook, where, you know, Facebook can have such highly targeted ads that they could end up blowing away the AdWords stuff, right? I mean, to me, that would be would make far more sense. And of course, MSN or Microsoft is already in there. So, it just seems to me like there's a lot of money, and you know, it's not like if Yahoo owned Twitter, would that be scary to Google? I don't see how it possibly could be.
I don't think it would. You know what I was thinking about is, like, in Canada, and you know, NHL is huge for you guys in hockey, and it is down here too for us. Why would Google think about that? It just made me think about this, and I had to tell you this real quick too. Why would Google, instead of buying Twitter, let's say, why would Google not want to maybe pay $25-50 million to all the teams in, you know, in Canada total, you know, to be able to broadcast live through Google's new interface, where you sit there and you get to watch the hockey game. I don't know if they're blacked out or they're not, or you get to see inside previews, but that's what I'm thinking, is why would they not try to take out the original big guys, which are televisions and radio and commercial?
Well, there's Google Video, and Google owns YouTube, right?
Yeah.
So imagine what sort of traffic you could get if you could stream hockey games, NCAA games, NFL games, NBA games through Google Video.
Europe Soccer, Europe Soccer, that's another. I mean, even to do a deal with Europe Soccer with that whole, you know, with the whole shebang up there, their association would only cost probably $25-50 million tops. So instead of doing that, they can lock up the entire sports arena, which is bigger than Twitter. And then in return, everybody would use Google even more than they do. You know, I would definitely jump on to watch some hockey games on Google. I had to go on to, CBS Sports to watch NCAA Madness. Funny, I'll tell you the truth. Yeah, last year they charged for it. And I actually said last year, I said, you know what, I thought they were going to offer free. I guarantee next year it'll be free. So it was so funny because you got Coke and all these people advertising on impressions, and I'm kind of laughing with my buddies. They know I'm the internet guy. And I'm thinking, how much are these guys, Coke, paying to have their same banner on the side of the game you're watching the whole time? You know, just literally, I mean, they're paying all this amounts of money, and, you know, and it's streaming video. So it works out to both advantages by doing that just on a regular scale, because I forgot how much it is. Either the NCAA, CBS pays the NCAA X amount of dollars. Well, Google can outbid every single network. Yeah, it could be a monopoly. They might have to go to court. But if they just do one sports arena at a time, I mean, almost, you know, let's say maybe 60% of the world loves sports. That's still a lot of people worldwide, you know?
That's right. That's right. And you could do the same thing for things like NASCAR.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's a ton of them out here in the U.S., ton of fans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then you can... archive.
Yeah, why doesn't Google have a NASCAR decal there you go. Why doesn't Google have a decal? No one else does on NASCARs.
There you go. They could have their own car.
Yeah, exactly. Call it the Gmail car. We'll get your lap faster.
That's right.
We got a motor called Lightning Speed.
That's right. Okay, so we've set out the business plan for Google for the next 10 years. We'll be sending them an invoice shortly.
Yeah.
Hopefully, if nothing else, I'm hoping that they will let us have lifetime free searches. What do you think?
Yeah, I hope so too. I hope they don't charge us for the searches, you know, definitely, or at least charge us for Twitter. You know.
That's right. That's right. So one other thing before we sign off is I wanted to talk a bit about reputation, online reputation, because sometimes people will, you know, they give out a service or whatever, and for no fault of their own, they have an unhappy customer. And unlike before the internet, if you had an unhappy customer, about the worst they could do was send a letter to the editor, who would, you know, think about whether or not he wanted to print it. But here, in today's society and in the internet world, if I don't like something that somebody did, I can go to a number of sites and put the whole story of what happened up. And, of course, the search engines will find it, will index it, and then when someone is searching on that company, those sort of articles or complaints will show up, and of course that can be damaging to somebody's reputation.
Oh yeah, oh drastically. Yeah, I'd like to touch on that a little bit. I own a reputation a company, CEO reputationmanagement.com. You know, and then there's a few others that filter in, but I started it because I started seeing a lot of negative posts, and I read an article 2 years ago saying that in the depression that people are automatically you know, kind of upset too because of what's going on, and then if they feel that all the people that have cheated them out through the years, you know, it's interesting, Scott, just to point out something brief. I've noticed, like, when I've been going out to very good restaurants or not good restaurants, the level of customer service has increased drastically in the United States here, as far as where I'm at, because, you know, that's something a lot of people took for granted. But with that said, is people want to complain. Like in Vegas here, they have on TV where you can call in and rant, and you can call and complain.
Oh, yeah.
And, huh?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Isn't that crazy? So I was thinking, so here's the thing, if you're a company out there or you're a website, you're a blog, you know, and if you're kind of, you know, if you're talking about controversy, I guess it'll play one against the other. But let's say if you're selling products, just be very careful. And also, you know, the biggest thing is a lot of people that I know that own, that are celebrities or they own their own company, they constantly type in their name or their company's name. And always just keep track of that top 10 in Google and Yahoo and even MSN too, because that can really, I had a client call me and told me that two people made false reports against them, and it's costing them $30,000 a month in revenue. And I told them, I said, okay, well, you know, how come you're waiting, you know, this long to get it taken care of? But it's just like shock. They don't know what to do. And I actually just got out of a meeting with a venture capitalist, at the Venetian Hotel, by the way, this morning. And, he didn't really, you know, he understands the internet quite a bit. But what he didn't understand is the magnitude of what these people can do if you really make them mad, because we were talking about reputation management. And here's the thing is people, this is a fact. It's like, let's say you make one person mad or you deny their loan or something, they go and rant. If they're really upset and they're going to get kicked out of their home, they're going to go tell a couple of their friends, hey, do me a favor, buddy, I'm losing my internet connection. I'm going to send you this link. Please go make your own post. So now you're dealing with their friends, but the good news is usually people that are so mad at somebody forget about how mad they are after a week or two. But the bad news is Google did say they're not removing any negative reputations that could be false or defamatory. Before, you used to be able to report it to Google Abuse, and then they would determine if the person, you know, if it was under your trademark, or they would remove it. Now they're not removing anything, and I think we talked about that before. So Lee Auden and a few other, you know, experts that I respect in the SEO industry, actually Andy Beal. Andy Beal's big on reputation management. And it's funny, Andy Beals just followed me like last week, so maybe he's listening to our show. I'm sure they are, you know, a lot of those guys. But Andy Beal, he's written his own books, but he's very smart, and he was the one who just was going on and talking about how to really secure your reputation. And it's just, you know, it's like an 8-step process. It's just like another thing. It's like if you have 10 rooms in your house and you got to vacuum every room every day and clean around, that's just what you got to do every day. So it's nuts, because it's going to get out of control, because some of these websites outrank, like let's say somebody made a rant against bankofamerica.com. There is a company called ripoffreport.com out there that has a high ranking, and somehow their listings get in within a day or two, and they actually don't screen the people. They don't screen any of the comments, which is really bad, and that's why they're wanted in 40 states for extortion. But I think they're overseas, so so they're probably never going to get caught. But the whole point of what I'm saying is just be very careful of these. If you see postings against your company, do not engage. My personal advice says do not respond to that. Call the appropriate person, which, you know, would be me or Andy Beal, or, you know, you can go to SEOchampion.com and just fill out a form and you know, and just contact me. But you do not want to respond, because when you engage, what you're doing is you're not responding to defend yourself. You're actually triggering the spiders to say, hey, this page has been updated. Please re-index it higher. And now you're double. You know, I don't want to say
you're
the word,
making
but
it worse.
Yeah, you're making
you're
it worse.
Making
exactly.
It worse. Yeah, it's not helping.
Exactly.
And of course, a lot of people don't understand exactly what it is that you're talking about, which is, you know, if somebody posts something on one of these sites and then you go and post a correction, it just makes that more visible. And oftentimes people with, you know, in the public relations area of business where they want to do damage control and that sort of stuff, oftentimes when something happens, they'll just say, keep your mouth shut, put your head down, and let it blow over. Because oftentimes the worst thing you can do is you know, yell and scream about it, if I can put it that way, right?
Yeah. That's a good word to call it, is damage control. And, you know, you're right. I didn't explain it too very well, but I will say this. The best way to combat it, which Andy Beal says too, is put out positive news. Duck. Don't respond. You know, dodge the bullets. But at the same time, set up your little booby traps around the little dynamite sticks. But those dynamite sticks are press releases and positive news. Create more social sites. You know, like, I'll give you an example. Somebody just hired me because there was about 80 websites that were rip-off report against them. So somebody spent $5,000 to $10,000 to hit the heck out of this person. So somebody just hired me to build out 200 social sites. So, and then after I submit those social sites, every one of those social sites will have that company's name. Now, somebody's going to have to break through the top 5 to 10 pages. So if you're on a larger scale and you're getting, you know, you're getting like 5,000 inquiries a month and you're processing those in sales or wherever, and, you know, you have a 2% bad rate, which is just normal, and let's say you get about 6 to 8 of those, you know, that's the best way to combat it is definitely don't respond. And just, you know, of course respond if it was your fault, and, you know, offer a refund if you can, and just offer to make up. And I would even post that on boards and just say, you know, we have like a 1/10 of unhappy customers, and, you know, we do give them money back. And, you know, it just depends how bad you've been hit. But the best thing to do is issue out positive news. I've always said that.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, the very first thing you want to do, and I think this is a really good point that you brought up, is you want to look after your customer, right? If a customer is upset about something, yeah, like, you know, sorry, what can I do to make it better? And if you do everything that you can think of to make it better and it doesn't make it better, then, we did everything that we could. But if you do make it better and the customer is happy, then definitely, you know, post on those spots where the complaints are and say, yeah, you know, we had a problem and this is what we did and here's the rest of the story. And because if that person is happy now, then that's about as much damage control as you're going to be able to do on those sites.
Exactly. And I wanted to say one thing going off this, going into the future, in 3 to 5 years, people are going to be paying attention very close to complaints online. And what you just mentioned is what we kind of were chatting about, was to go ahead and put a lot of, and I've spoken to some CEOs about this, and they do not agree with what me and you just mentioned, but I'm still going to agree definitely that someone, if they resolve the situation, they should talk about how, you know, this customer wasn't, let's say they were offering a service and, you know, the customer came in and he paid his money and, you know, and he didn't see like letter A on the letter B on the contract that said he had to have a business license or something. So he felt his time was wasted, you know, and his time was worth $500 in his mind and he paid you $200. So you only offer him $200 back. So he's still upset about the $5, but he says, okay. So you can kind of write that, because you know what's going to happen is, and what I encourage all companies, and I've said these to these CEOs, build your own rant blog. Don't let somebody post against you on somebody else's blog, because if they do it on yours, you can control it.
Right.
You know, or
right.
Set up a dummy company, private, and call it, let's say you're, you know, let's say you sell hockey gear. You know, somebody got upset because there was one letter missing from each jersey. You know, you could set up Have you been scammed by Hockey Merchandise Company? Please file here, and you own that. And then that's another niche, too. So that's like my way of combating it. I have a couple of those live, actually, and a couple in the works. And one of them is an SEO company. I've built a company to combat SEO fraud, and where people can list of all the people that have done them wrong and which websites and why they feel that way. But these are all going to be reviewed by an expert, which will originally be myself when I look at it, and then I'll probably pass it around, a little bit. But that's kind of like a rough idea on how to, to help out within your own industry. Like if I'm an internet marketing, I want to own an internet marketing ramp blog. It could be crazy, it could be nuts, but at the same time, you're helping the industry out, and at the same time, you can even control your own press. Because here's the whole thing: is you're not really like what I've experienced is yes, you're going to have your competitors attack you, but then you're just going to have jealous people that we all have jealous tendencies as humans, I guess. That are upset of how far you've excelled or where you've been, and they just want to light you up and write 5-10 posts against you. So that's the one thing, the legitimate fair stuff, okay, that's fair game, but when people get out of control because maybe you didn't do a deal with them or you didn't include them in something, and then they go nuts and post against you, that's kind of where my mentality of having an industry-controlled ramp blog for your own industry, if you're a big enough company, it'd be really good. And you don't even have to be a big company. You can actually just make a separate blog about it and then just write, this is to help control our industry, and just put it on private. So if somebody wants to complain about your XYZ company and, it's on private, they won't know you on the blog. And that's how you can start
right, for
even pennies.
Yep, and that's a really good idea. And, of course, the biggest thing is just doing the best that you can with your customer service so that if they've got a problem, you look after it right away and keep them as happy as you can. But if you can't, then you really have to be aware of the potential damage that can occur to your reputation if you're not careful.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure, and it can hit really bad. I've heard some bad case studies of companies losing millions of dollars, over just... And it's going to be interesting. It really is. And, you think with all the biggest companies in the world, you got Citibank and Bank of America. I mean, how many people, let's say for these foreclosures, how many people are ranting about all the all the mortgage companies that haven't went broke yet? It's out of control right now, and it's going to get even more crazy. Just be careful not to fall in the loop of it.
That's right. That's right.
For all the users out there.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us, Mike. We really, really appreciate having you on the show as usual. And if you want to keep up to date on the latest in search engine optimizing, head over to seochampion.com/blog, because that's where you've got all of the latest and greatest things that are going on, right?
Yeah, exactly. And next week, I know we're going to talk about iPhone apps, but next week it's going to be interesting about those iPhone apps, and on how many downloads and how there's opportunities to make money out there. And I want to thank
yes.
you, too, for bringing me on the show.
My pleasure, Mike. And if you've got any questions for Mike or myself, you could head over to www.askscottpatton.com, leave some comments, and we'll talk about them in our next episode. And that's it for this time. So any last words, Mike, before we head off?
No, I think that's about it. I just wanted to just clarify, like, my blog, because I didn't get the 301. It's seochampion.com/SEO blog. I know we've mentioned it as this blog. No problem, but you know what? I asked my one of my lead developers to put that in, and 301 it specifically for the because I was getting a lot of people that sent them to my main site. But I did want to mention, if there is anybody out there that's very curious in iPhone apps, we're running a special that will beat any reasonable rate, and that's just on Scott's show. So if you're interested in an iPhone app, which we'll be talking about next week, just go to SEOchampion.com and, just write in that you listen to the show, because, I am giving discounts, because I get calls once in a while and somebody told me they didn't listen to me and Scott Patton talk. I'm, more obligated not to give them a discount. So I do build iPhone apps, so just keep that in mind, because that's going to be the big hit that we're going to chat about, next week too.
Right. Good point. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. You've been listening to the Internet Marketing Unleashed podcast. I'm Scott Papp, the Dean of Blogonomics and Podology, along with Michael Rotkin, the SEO champion. And we'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.